And now a listener request by Robin Squire, as read by John Nelson.
I'm not the type to remember how old I was, who I was with, and whether I was eating popcorn when I first saw a movie. Instead, I remember how I felt about the movies themselves. In this case, I was probably in my late teens or early 20s when I saw the film, in whatever decade it came out long ago. I was expecting a vacuous 1990s Los Angeles teen testosterone bro party romp a la Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. After all, Pauly Shore, Pauly Shoring was a main character. The film was pretty much what I expected. Lots of the juvenile humor and blatant objectification of women that was not uncommon for the time, but even then, made me a bit uneasy. However, I was pleasantly surprised that it turned out to be more. The film actually had some depth and a few glimpses of what I considered good acting. Curiously, it wasn't from the asthmatic Goonies kid. It was the caveman eye candy who barely spoke and more than grunts most of the time, yet communicated so clearly and earnestly that eventually even I caught myself suspending my disbelief enough to buy into the far-fetched premise. Later, I saw Brendan Fraser again in what turned out to be one of my favorite underrated films, School Ties. That second performance confirmed for me that Brendan Fraser had some genuine acting talent. Talent I first noticed in the film, Encino Man.
Welcome to The Hold Up. Each month, we pick a movie one of us remembers fondly but hasn't seen in years. We watch it and we decide, does it hold up? I'm John Longinot.
And I'm John Nelson.
And welcome to 2020.
Happy New Year.
Shut up.
Stop. No. Every goddamn year you do this. Every year.
That's the tradition.
It's useless is what it is.
Well, you're saying me recycling the same tired jokes.
Same tired material.
Singing the three holiday songs I know. Are you the New Year Grinch?
Shut up. It's almost appropriate, though, because this is like, for us, this is like the hold-up morning zoo. We're recording this at like 10:30 in the morning for once. We've never recorded this early that I can remember.
This is like we missed the alarm, our flight's in an hour, everyone's racing to the airport.
Yep, New Year's is tomorrow,
yes.
So we got to, this is practically live again, folks.
Thank you to Robin for this month's movie, which we'll be doing. Encino Man.
Yay, we finally got to a Robin. She's only requested 47 different things, man. It's not like she's been with us from the beginning.
Well, my New Year's resolution was to actually listen to our listeners. So, you know.
Start now?
Well, don't worry. Like any good New Year's resolution will fall off in about a month or so. And then we'll just get back to not giving a shit. But for right now, thank you, dear listeners. And you, too, can have your movie watched by us if you send us a request, an email at holduppodcast@gmail.com. You also don't have to just send a request. You can send us any thoughts, hate mail, love mail, whatever you want, any topics you want to talk about. We also, John, we haven't done a grab bag in a while.
I know. Sort of threatening to.
Yeah. Well, let me kind of sweeten the pot here. And if anyone has any emails they'd like to send to us for a potential 2020 grab bag episode, hit us up. For those who may not know, our grab bag episodes are basically where we don't actually watch a movie. We just sort of talk about movies and just random questions from listeners. Just kind of a fun to do. So if you have any thoughts about movies, about anything, send us an email, holduppodcast@gmail.com, and we will answer them in our special grab bag episode. It's happening now because I've just committed to it.
So. Nice. Okay. I'm down.
We're late for this one, so why not add a little more work to our lives? Let's go for it.
I'm ready.
But yes, Robin requested Encino Man, which I'm very excited to see again. And it sounds like Robin had quite an affinity for Brendan Fraser. I know she's always talking about School Ties, a movie he was in. I have not seen that movie.
I haven't either. But the ladies, whenever they reference Brendan Fraser, they either reference School Ties or Gods and Monsters.
Oh, okay. This
which
is
I understand, because
like
Gods and Monsters, he's naked. And even I am like watching him in that and going, yeah.
I actually have never seen Gods and Monsters.
Wait, huh? Jesus.
Is that the the Frankenstein movie?
Yeah, it's the one with Ian McKellen, I think.
Ian McKellen is like the director.
Yeah, and they're both great. It's a really good movie. It's surprisingly. But that's where like Brendan Fraser, like basically like, up until then, he was like the lovable, like, we like him. He's good looking and he's not too offensive when he talks. And, you know, people were just sort of like, yeah, fine. And then he did this movie. He plays like a dullard and a dunce, but a pretty boy. And he's really good in it. Huh. So.
Well, that's kind of the Brendan Fraser move, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, I get get the impression he quite often is playing that kind of pretty boy, fun, nice guy.
Right.
I think most people were probably introduced to him through the Mummy films.
Sure.
Encino Man's actually the first time I ever saw him.
Encino Man is the first time I heard of him. I never have seen Encino Man, so...
Never witnessed it.
Never have borne witness, no. But I did watch... Caveman Lawyer or whatever it is on SNL. So I pretty
Unfrozen
much,
Caveman Lawyer,
right.
The Phil Hartman sketch.
So I pretty much figured I got the better version of that.
I mean, you're not that far off, honestly. Well, John, before we get into Brendan Fraser and his many accolades and all that, we should talk about Encino Man. And as someone who has not seen the movie, I want to know, before we get anything else done, what do you think Encino Man's about?
Well, this one, I feel like it's sort of a gimme, right? Like, Pauly Shore is a dork from Encino. He accidentally thaws out a caveman, you know, Jurassic Park style from the, you know, amber. And Brendan Fraser doesn't fit in so hot with the modern times, and he's always seeing things that are like gabooga, like, oh shit, a McDonald's where, like, you know, you can get a shake and people are skateboarding, and then they put, you know, whatever hip clothes on him at the time, and he looks really hip and good looking, and then he meets a girl because it's the 80s/90s, and there's no reason not to have a stereotypical vapid female love interest, as Robin sort of, you know, handed me that one. And by the end, there's going to be probably a big decision. Does he fit into this time? Will he stay, or does he go back in the amber to, I don't know, like pop
does
out
it
in,
work
in,
that way?
To
can
pop
you,
out in
can
the future,
you jump into ice and go
I,
back in
I
time?
Don't know. I'm just trying to follow the theme.
Okay.
I have no idea. I mean,
well,
I'm trying to maybe give it something that it doesn't have also. So
first and foremost, I think it's great that you referenced Jurassic Park in the sort of narrative, because the first time I ever saw it, the one and only time, in fact, I ever saw Encino Man, I saw it on a double billing at a drive-in with Jurassic Park.
That actually seems like not so bad a choice.
That I think the people booking it were like, oh, hey, you know, these kind of fit. And this wasn't like a re-release or something. This was first run. Like,
oh,
this
okay.
is, kids, this is back in the day where you could actually go to a drive-in movie in most cities. And they still kind of existed. Even then, I'd say in the late 90s, it was still fairly, or I guess mid 90s.
Well, I think by mid 90s,
nostalgic.
They were starting to peter out, because
what's Jurassic Park? What, 96? 95?
No, it was
94?
92, 93.
Okay.
Either 92 or 93.
I'll just throw a bunch of darts and I'll hit it at some point. But
there you go.
Yeah, so I guess Encino Man must have been the same year, like 92, 93, something like that. But it's as to your guesses about what the movie's about, sounds good to me, because I barely remember anything about Encino Man. I kind of remember the basic wrappings of exactly what you guessed at. I think it's like, here's one thing. I think Pauly Shore is actually sort of a side character.
He's not the main character?
I don't think so. I could be wrong. But my memory is that Brendan Fraser ends up with a family or something.
Oh, okay.
And Pauly Shore. So what happens is, I think, I could be wrong about this, but I think he's uncovered in some kind of construction site. Like, they're making a strip mall in the valley or something like that. Or I forgot the house of wise. Or maybe people are breaking ground on a new home or some digging thing unearths Brendan Fraser. And for whatever reason, he comes to live with people. Now, it might be Pauly Shore. It might be like a family.
Is it
I don't
Sean
really remember.
Because I saw he. Well, A, I
might
saw
be.
He was in it from the cover. And B, Robin said the asthmatic kid from Goonies. So
yes. So that might be it. It might be that he's living with Sean Astin or somebody similar to that.
Which now this makes it my wife's favorite movie, because, like, Sean Astin's one of her favorites. She loves Brendan Fraser.
Sean Astin is fantastic in everything he's in. He's not in much, but but when he is. I mean, obviously, the bedrock of the Lord of the Rings original trilogy.
The load.
Oh, Mr. Baggins, Frodo. Yeah, it's like, but he's fucking great in that. And
he's awesome.
I could tell when you watch behind the scenes, it looks like they're just making fun of him the whole time. Like, he seems like that odd duck out that isn't really friends with everyone or people kind of make fun of or something. That was the vibe I got from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, really?
Little side talk about Sean Astin.
Hey, let's fuck with Astin, yeah. See what happens. Hey, Adam's Family kid.
But anyway, I didn't actually remember that Sean Astin was in the movie, but that makes sense. And I think that Brendan Fraser's living with him or something similar. My memory of Pauly Shore is that so for whatever reason, they enlist Brendan Fraser in a high school.
Mm-hmm.
I think to, like, I don't know if authorities are looking for him or what, you know, whatever the dumb reason that they have to hide him.
Right.
But he goes to high school. And I think Pauly Shore is the druggy / stoner kid at school.
Right.
That befriends him or gets in the antics for some reason.
So he was still, this is before Pauly Shore was a main character in movies?
Yes. I want to say this is like one of his first big vehicles.
Right.
You know, like, because he was in many movies after this, like Jury Duty and whatever else, you know.
All of them terrible.
Yeah. But this one, it's like he's not the main character. I mean, he's definitely in it a lot, but he's more like a side character, I think.
Well, I'm guessing if from what you're saying is true, if he's not the main character, this is one of those movies where, like, the third banana is funnier than everybody else. And,
right.
And
yes.
Suddenly everybody's like, oh, shit, we got a new superstar.
Right. Yes, I think it might have been like he's, I mean, steals is a strong word, but maybe he sort of commanded all the scenes he was in a way that got him more notoriety or something.
Now, I have to ask, was he acting in this film? Or was he just doing the
he's just doing Pauly Shore.
He's just
doing his, buddy. Hey, what's up, caveman? Like, that's it, you know.
For all of you children listening to this, and I know there's many of you, if you were born, I suspect, after 2000, you have no idea who we're talking about. Pauly Shore, kids, was on this channel called MTV, which used to be short for Music Television, and he would pop up in sort of these interstitials for MTV. They were like basically ads for MTV, which is like, hey, let's do an ad for the channel you're watching.
It's like post-Max Headroom, pre-Carson Daly, kind of mid-level.
Yeah.
That's where he was at.
But all he was, I mean, he was sort of the follow-up to Randy of the Redwoods, which was like...
I don't even know what that is.
That was one of the first MTV, like, you know, goofy characters that just sort of shilled for the show in these weirdo commercials.
Okay.
So Randy of the Redwoods was just like a straight up hippie, and he'd be like, whoa, man. And then I woke up and I was looking in the mirror.
So it's,
man,
just like Cheech and Chong, basically.
Basically, it went from Cheech and Chong to like the 90s version of Cheech and Chong, which was Pauly Shore. And so he just was like, hey, buddy, why don't you watch MTV?
Well, I feel like Beavis and Butthead came along and kind of ate his lunch and then took that job.
Thank God, because even in the 90s, he was annoying. So I'm not exactly sure who thought he was funny enough to put in movies, but man, people paid money for him. So
let me tell you, I don't remember Encino Man very well. I remember liking it quite a bit, but I do sort of remember Jury Duty. And I got to say, I kind of liked it.
Oh,
but, yeah, but it's been a long, I bet that one's garbage.
I mean, but you like, you know,
but in a dumb,
and
like that earnesty kind of way, like that just super. So comedy only works if it's incredibly intelligent or incredibly stupid. There's really no middle ground. So I'm not crowning Pauly Shore on an earnest level of stupid, like that he's the king of that,
right?
Much like when in Ernest Rides Again, he's part of the royal family. he discovers, or I think he steals a crown or something, whatever, it doesn't matter. But Pauly Shore was kind of funny in that way. I remember as a kid, and this also might be one of those things where our age gap really speaks volumes, where you obviously you never saw Encino Man, but the era of Pauly Shore, you were a fair bit older and wiser than I was.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I was in college when all these films hit.
So as, you know, like a 13-year-old, it kind of worked, I think.
I can see that. Well, I didn't know this till much later in life. Pauly Shore is sort of like Hollywood royalty because...
Oh, really?
Well, his mom she passed away recently, but she was the owner of the Comedy Store.
No kidding. And I had no idea.
Yeah, the Comedy Store, which is this, basically the zero center of like comedy in LA in the 80s. It's where like Sam Kinison and Richard Pryor and everybody, I mean, everybody was at the Comedy Store. It was like the big hip thing. And of course, the great thing is then she wouldn't pay anybody. So all these people were like,
really?
Going like, yeah, Dice Clay and just everybody who you can think of who got famous in the 80s comedy scene, they all came from his mom, basically. If she liked somebody, took a shine to him, she would put him in the main room and then they would get famous and she would recommend him for TV shows and shit. So she was really like an arbiter of taste.
Huh. So what you're telling me is Pauly Shore, when he was like daycare age, rubbed shoulders with legends.
Right.
And literally had the best class you could ever have to see every funny person alive.
He could go down so many different roads of comedy.
And so he concocted from that an amalgam, which is Pauly Shore.
Right.
Okay.
Well, and he came up with, yeah, the weasel, Pauly Shore, which is basically Bill and Ted, but without the duo part, you know, just one guy being stupid to himself. So
always works.
Yeah. And well, he's now, I guess he still works at the Comedy Store. I'm sure he owns a part of it. But his whole shtick now is basically being like, hey, remember me? I was Pauly Shore. Yeah, I know.
Ha-ha.
I know.
Wasn't he in the Aristocrats documentary? Was
probably.
He one of those people doing that? I don't remember.
Probably. I mean, that was, you know,
maybe I'm confusing him.
Every comic was in that
person.
Well, now he doesn't do, like, he's sort of trying to live down that whole, like,
sure,
90s reputation where he's like, he couldn't, you know, he made all these movies and he was a superstar, but then, like, they plummeted very quickly and everyone was like, oh, let's chew through him and go to the next one. He's like, wait a second, I have more to give. And they're like, no, you don't.
Nope.
Bye. He's like,
you've done your thing.
But,
see you.
But yeah, no. Exactly. So, I mean, on the one hand, it's like, yeah, he's stupid and that's really just not my taste. But on the other hand, I kind of feel bad where it's like, oh man, just another guy who thought, hey, I figured this all out. Oh, fuck me. Okay.
I do feel like that era of shtick seems much less prevalent now. Like back in the 80s and 90s, you could have just like, look at this goofball doing his goofball thing in five or six different movies where he's playing a different character, but is basically the same guy.
Right. And you had a catchphrase that you took from movie
right.
to movie.
And it's like, oh, what's Pauly Shore doing now? What's Martin Lawrence doing now? What's Ernest doing now? You know,
right.
like that kind of thing. And does that even happen anymore? I could, like, literally can't think of anything.
I'm sure it does, and we just don't know which it is, because this is the kind of thing that has been going on since, you know, cavemen hit each other over the head and shit.
I guess Tyler Perry? That's, like, the only thing I can think of.
But I think people have evolved past the, you know, one good catchphrase is not enough to make you laugh for half an hour. You know, you can't just walk in a room and say, dynamite! And that's the end.
Hey, do you know who did it and got away with it?
Jimmy Walker?
No, Chris Farley.
Oh,
because every movie he was in, he was the same guy. But, like, man, they're all winners.
Yeah, but he's doing physical comedy, too, I think.
Well, so. that's what I mean. Like,
I mean,
this
it's like
kind
the three
slapsticky
Yeah,
thing.
The Three Stooges were doing the same thing every time, but it was just a different board hitting them in the head.
Gold.
So. Well, that's, I mean, I'm actually guessing that part of this whole thing we're talking about is, like, why is Pauly Shore, why can't you make the same movie over and over again with the same stars?
Right.
Like, because we have streaming and instant access to the person's other works. So if you want to see Pauly Shore being a goof, you can watch Encino Man.
Right. Like back in the day, you saw it when it was in the theater 5 years ago, but it's not like you had instant access to it again. So you would go see the next one he was in.
Right. It was kind of the, you know, instead of like just re-releasing the movie, which is what they would do in the 40s, they would just make a new one with him in it.
So now it's like, oh, Biodome streaming on Amazon. Get ready. So there's no need to do it.
God, I forgot about Biodome.
I've actually never seen it.
I've never seen it either. And I lived in Tucson when they opened the Biodome.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
You'd think I would have raced out to see it, but no.
But in regards to Encino Man, which, by the way, we're going to watch Encino Man.
Oh, really? Oh, shit.
Which you've never seen, and I barely remember. I am struggling to think of a specific scene or moment or something we can talk about before watching it that was in the movie. All I have are these vague kind of ethereal flashes of things. I remember I remember Brendan Fraser, I think he skateboards.
Well, sure.
I don't remember the context, but
that's
a thing.
It was the 90s. Everybody was skate. I mean, it was still like post Back to the Future when everybody was skateboarding.
Well, I think it's a caveman like, oh, what's this? Look at the wheels and spin them. And then I think he's like killer. He might be great with like no training. One of those like jumps on and is like, oh, my God, he's the man. You know, that kind of thing. And I know that there's some kind of thing about people don't know he's a caveman.
Right. Well, he just blends in because, well, I'm sure that's why the Encino of the title, it's like, hey, he fits right in because everybody here is a dullard, too.
Right. Yes. I think that actually seems to be the conceit. It's sort of like making fun of 90s Valley culture with like, hey, look, these Gen Xers are just the same as a caveman.
Right.
Let's literally bring a caveman in. They won't know the difference. Ha ha.
Ha ha. And they'll pay lots of money to watch themselves be made fun of.
It actually sounds like a really cynical script from an old man who's like, these fucking Gen Xers, they won't a caveman, whatever.
Yeah, well, if for all you millennials who are listening and thinking, man, the baby boomers just pick on us. It's like they were picking on us Gen Xers, too. They just found new targets, y'all.
Yeah, this does not sound like pump up the volume. This sounds like turn down the volume.
Although, I mean, like you say, Pauly Shore made a lot of movies in a it's very true. Quick period of time. And this is really the only one you hear about. You don't hear about people saying, hey, man, let's dust off Son-in-Law.
You're right. No, this is like synonymous with Pauly Shore. Like, yeah. This is the one people... everyone remembers.
Yeah, and they
even if they haven't seen it,
and they remember it fondly. So I have to assume there's something to it. It's the one that survived. So I'm going to say there is probably something to that. That, however, is not enough for me. I mean, no spoilers here, but I think I know which way I'm leaning on this. Oh, let me ask before we get into judgment: is there a scene where Brendan Fraser discovers fire or sees fire made?
Not that I have a recollection of. Okay, though it wouldn't surprise me.
Because that's always the caveman joke, right? Fire, and how dangerous it is, and how oh shit, you can control it. How amazing!
I'm sure, as you said, there are a ton of like, I'm in the present and slash my future for me, and oh my God, and I'm scared of a TV, and you know, just run them down, like all the classic tropes. Like, a car? What is that beast? I must attack it with a spear or whatever. You know, like, I'm sure they're all in there.
Okay, well, good enough.
I am happy to report, though, that the spirit of Encino Man lives on in Power Rangers Dino Charge, which my daughter loves.
I beg your pardon?
For anyone who doesn't know, there's not just the old Power Rangers from back in the day. There's like 8 billion different Power Rangers seasons, and they all have a different stupid theme, and it's like ninjas and magic and whatever. And one of them's called Dino Charge, and the Power Rangers work at a history museum, and one of the Power Rangers is an unfrozen caveman. Living in the present.
Wow.
Befuddled and confused with the technology and everything. So it's a classic story that is still being told.
Yep. Well, and like we say, SNL, you know, discovered comedy gold.
Yes.
Mysteriously around the same time.
But obviously Encino Man's not the first one of these. What's like the first out of place, you know, time traveler from the past?
I'm sure
kind
it's
of
like
thing.
A Marx Brothers, Laurel and
Probably.
Hardy. Somebody there
Unfrozen
is like.
Frozen Caveman. There's got to be one.
Or someone transported from like, you know, a fucking, what's it? The Connecticut Yankee and King Arthur's Court shit.
Oh, right, right.
Something like that.
Yes.
I mean, time travel, fish out of water stuff is... I mean, that's like the second plot somebody thought of. They're like, you know, the first plot is like, oh, they fall in love in the
What's
end.
What's the Hugh Jackman love story with Meg Ryan? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
It was like Hugh Jackman. It was a romance movie. Hugh Jackman was from the past, and it was the same thing. Like, he's in Meg Ryan's apartment. Look at shaving cream is freaking him out. And, you know, look at cars are making him jump. And all that. Like, it's literally, you could do a runner of like every one of these movies and have 5 hours straight of like scared at car.
Right.
I would love to see that.
Well, I was just thinking to myself, if someone came from the past and was just thrust into the modern day, they'd be comatose. The world would just be like,
yes.
It would be so much. I mean, literally, I don't think your ears could handle it because, I mean, you're living like caveman. It's like, it's dead silent where you're coming from. And here, I mean, there's just so much like ambient noise. You would feel like you're living in a fucking, you know, airplane.
Let's
hangar.
Be honest. You would drop dead in 5 minutes from some bacteria or virus that you are not immune to. That would be what would actually happen.
That's actually really astute.
Yeah.
he would shake hands with one person and be like just turned into goo in 5 minutes.
His love story would be cut tragically short as the CDC comes down on him like ET and takes him away. That would be
too real, man. Too real.
Well, Nelson, before we watch Encino
no.
Man.
No.
It's time to cast.
Nope, it's
our
not
going to
hold
guess.
Up. Nope.
Okay, no. So you think Encino Man is not going to hold up?
No, I actually think that Encino Man will not hold up.
Okay.
Just a guess.
You know what? I'm going to, just to even Stevens this thing, I'm going to say it will hold up. Because
you would.
I have no evidence to the contrary. I remember liking it. I have never heard it talked about in this, oh man, what a shit movie that everyone loved, but and now time has told this shit.
Right.
Like everyone's just like, yeah, Encino Man.
Yeah,
Brendan
Fraser. Encino Man.
And to double back to the entire reason Robin chose this, I love Brendan Fraser. He's
well, that's
great.
True. I mean, if
he's great.
He could save a lot in this movie just by being him.
Like, will Pauly Shore be annoying? Probably. But Brendan Fraser might bring it home. And let me tell you, don't forget the ace up the sleeve that's called Sean Astin.
Yeah, that's true.
Dude might come in for us.
I'm not even denying you. You know what I'm actually also really looking forward to seeing is like now that, like when Encino Man came out, I had not lived in any part of Los Angeles at that time.
Right.
Now I know Encino, so now I'll be in on the joke.
We live past Encino.
Right? Oh, yeah, well, we live out in the sticks.
We're even further out than the caveman.
But it'll be, you know, much like the Karate Kid takes on a whole different sheen when you've lived in the valley. It's like, now I bet I'll get the jokes.
Sure. All the West Valley jokes. Yeah.
It's like,
I'm not going to go past the 405.
Anyway.
Excellent. Well, we are going to go watch Encino Man, and we'll be right back.
Recently, two high school students unearthed a prehistoric man in their own backyard. Their story is completely true. Encino Man.
Flame Edge. Oh, he is so greasy.
Wow, who's the guy with the dork squad?
Is he fine or what?
This guy is our ticket to fame and popularity. All we gotta do is get him enrolled in school and he'll help us become popular.
He's a looker.
Link, be careful!
He's dope. I'd go out with him.
Go, Zongas.
And I am too sexy for Milan. Too sexy for Milan, New York, and Japan.
Today, buddy, we're gonna discuss the beverage.
What are you doing, Mrs. Stoney?
We figure we's a little juice.
No, we's in the juice.
No, we's in the juice!
Hollywood Pictures presents Encino Man. He's a million years old.
Milk does the body good, huh?
Great hair.
And living proof that evolution is not an exact science.
Hold hands on the wheel!
Get out the fresh nugs. Squeeze in the juice.
Ow!
Buddy, you got him talking like you now.
Too sexy for this song.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have returned from that silly fucking business that was Encino Man.
We've defrosted and landed in the modern era.
How's it going, buddy?
All right, let's...
Buddy!
Let's start with this. The movie is about this. It's about a young man who digs up a caveman, and he is not very popular at school nor with the ladies, and he decides the caveman is going to be the key to his success and his popularity.
This is the plan.
Yes. So he cynically dresses the caveman up and takes him to high school for some reason.
Because that's a direct highway to the ladies?
To fame and popularity.
Bringing a caveman to school?
Is bringing a caveman to school, but hiding the fact that he's a caveman. Just pretending he's just some dude doesn't understand how society works. And then...
And, like, conscripting Pauly Shore into your tomfoolery.
Sure.
Because he was there.
And continually trying to break up the bully and his girlfriend. Now, the bully is a bully, but... I mean, you're going after his girlfriend, so there's reasons for him to be upset. So
yeah, on the list of bad guys whom we dislike and we want someone else to get with the girl, this guy honestly wasn't that bad. Like,
yeah.
I was kind of half with him half the time.
And then
because Sean Astin's giving his girl like goo goo eyes, and he's just like, "Come on, man,
I'm dating her.
What is wrong with my girl?
Yeah, yeah. It's like just because you've known her since you were in kindergarten, and then so. Hijinks ensue, and then basically the girl that Sean Astin likes asks the caveman to the prom, and he goes almost full incel. He stops just short of shooting up a 7-Eleven or a sorority. But the low point, the nadir of the movie, is where he's sad that the girl that he likes has asked out the only cool person in the room.
Yeah, who knew that his brilliant plan of having a hot stud caveman come to get him the girls? And, of course, they all just like Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, who knew
obviously.
That fucking plan would backfire?
And then he's like, how did this happen?
And like, so basically,
he tries to abandon him?
Yeah, like, and then he leaves him by the side of the road because his plans have gone awry. He drops him off like he's dropping a stray puppy off.
Honestly, I'm surprised he didn't shoot him. Like, it was that. It was like that sad.
I mean, it was just like
he like gives him a sack of quarters and a lunch and is like, "Okay, caveman, you're no use to me anymore.
Yeah,
on your way."
He's the most awful human being. And then at the end, he somehow gets the girl.
Yeah, somehow against all rational logic.
I mean,
without any reason at all.
Yeah,
like, all of a sudden they're together.
And you say to me like, well, I mean, what did he do to get the girl? Nothing. She just liked him all of a sudden.
Okay, you can infer. There was about the only MacGuffin the movie had was a stack of Polaroids that they have took of Brendan Fraser when he was in ice. And then after he thawed out, they took a selfie together. Hey! And the jock boyfriend guy somehow starts playing detective for reasons I don't really understand.
The younger DeLuise brother, who I haven't seen since the fifth season of 21 Jump Street.
And he's like, clearly something is amiss here, so I'm going to put my detective skills to work. And he goes and breaks into his house, finds these Polaroids. By the end of the movie, the girl finds these Polaroids. And I guess deduces that he's a caveman. So the only thing I'll give the movie, I guess, her only motivation is like she's so impressed that Sean Astin thought out a caveman that she giggles and kisses him. Like, but it's obviously a male fantasy that is completely farcical. I mean, the way they present Sean Astin is like no one would want this man
nobody
or want to be with him.
Yeah, he's the worst.
He's downright creepy, honestly.
Yes.
Like, he's literally showing her photographs of them as children naked in a tub together. And he's like, look, we were naked together. And I was just like, you're a fucking creep. Like, what is wrong with you?
This is like just shy of Porky's, like, staring in the shower business.
I mean,
Robin,
he was like half a step from Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Now, Robin, we neglected to mention this before, just for this very point, I guess. She wrote us recently and she said,
yeah, she sent us an email.
She sent us a follow up to her intro and she said, okay, fellas, I just saw Encino Man for the first time in ages, and I promise you that I remembered almost nothing about the female main character when I suggested it for the whole
thing. Right. Obviously, the underpinning of that email is like, there's something troubling here, which I don't know if that's what you think, Robin, but if it is, we absolutely agree with you.
100% agree with
that
you.
That is a real problem with the movie. The whole plot of, like, getting the girl and got... Yeah,
yeah,
it's... Because it's one thing if it's this, like, I don't know, Robin Hood Maid Marian thing where you would pick up on some... usually, when someone likes a girl and that girl's with someone else, let's say the dick jock of the school or whatever, there's, like, signs that she secretly might be into the nerdy guy.
Right.
Usually. Like, he picks up her books and she smiles or whatever, you know. This was like, there was zero indication that
she liked
Sean Astin at all. And in fact... outwardly disliked him, shunned his advances, literally was like, we're cool, no, please leave me alone, was basically the vibe. So to get to a place where she's kissing him is just insane.
Yeah, that was dumb. And none of the women in this movie are any better, by the way. They have strategically made all the women just dumb as dirt, and all of them respond to Brendan Fraser basically knocking them over the head and dragging them back home as like, yeah, see, this is what a real man does.
Right, he comes in and basically assaults all these women, like grabbing their hair and seeing their breasts and going, oh, gazongas, and all, you know, and they're all just like, who's the new guy? I gotta get him. And it's like, I guess at that time, like, some aggression was seemed attractive or something, but...
I mean, there's a good joke in there somewhere, but they just keep hammering it with every girl. There's, like... there's the main girl, Robin, which I just realized is maybe
now,
one
right,
of the
reasons. The main girl's name is Robin.
So maybe there's...
no wonder Robin loved this movie.
Yeah, she was named for it. But there's Robin, the main girl. There's a second, you know, secondary girl who basically her whole job is to have the hots for Brendan Fraser.
That girl was from The Craft, right?
Yes, her name, I just looked it up, is also... her real name is Robin. So the main girl's the main girl's character's name is Robin. The secondary girl, her name in real life is Robin.
There's and then Rose McGowan was in there.
Rose McGowan,
Robin too.
I guess this is her first movie, and her whole thing is, who's the new guy?
They all do.
It's like all the women are just like, God damn, I gotta get me to a closet or something.
It's Brendan Fraser, so I understand the infatuation that people have with him. And I think that's part of the joke of the movie, right? It's like he rolls in and he just goofballs it up and literally is just universally accepted by the school, except for the bully guy. Everyone else is like, this is the coolest man in the world. He bridges the gap between all the different castes of people in the school. It just, the rapper crew loves him. The nerdy science people love it. Which Short Round was in there?
Yeah, the
little
kid from Data.
Short Round.
So it was sort of a Goonies reunion.
Yeah, I guess in part. And then, God, so that's the thing. Like, he just sort of impresses the whole school. There's really, like, not much of a plot to speak of.
That's being generous.
Yeah, it's kind of, they resurrect this caveman, set up this conceit that Sean Astin wants to get with this girl. And after that, it literally is like an hour solid of just kind of bits of like, caveman at the 7-Eleven, caveman at Driver's Ed, caveman at the History Museum.
Yeah, you know, there's no like ups and downs. No. It's just like,
and they all just write themselves like automatically, basically.
I don't say this very often about movies, but this could have used a few more stereotypical Hollywood Valley jokes. There was no, like, I mean, they call it Encino Man. I was waiting for someone to, I mean, besides someone saying, hey, I live in Encino.
Well, they had the earthquakes.
That's true, but that could, I mean, there was nothing specific about it, though. It's just like, hey, earthquakes keep happening.
Right, you're right. There wasn't specific valley humor that probably could have been served. A lot of that was more just downright kind of halfway racist stuff of like, hey, here's the Spanish gang going, hey, ese, drink some tequila.
Where they break away from school midday to go to a midday club.
I know, this hopping club.
This hip, valley club that's open at 4 o'clock on a school day. And then the cops come to break it up, and it's like, oh, shit, this is.
Well, I suspect the police were there. They didn't really explain this, but I think the police were there because they arrived at that party when they commandeered a driver's ed car.
Right.
And Brendan Fraser, who played one game of a video game at the arcade, suddenly knows how to drive a car. And he drives and puts it on two wheels for like an entire drive. Like, he's stunt driving.
Yeah, and he manages to go fast and slow. And
sure, but I think they were there because they had followed, you know, the car there or something.
Okay.
Because that's why they were arresting him.
At least that explains a thing,
I suppose.
There was just, I don't know. And Sean Astin, who, you know, we both talked about how much we liked him. He was the worst.
Yeah, he didn't have a lot to work with.
He did not have
honest.
A lot. No, I'm not even necessarily.
He did the best he could with what he got.
I'm not even blaming Sean Astin, but I mean, his character was given zero. And I'm like, why didn't you cast a likable? I mean, I guess maybe they cast the most likable guy they could find. It's like, man, this guy's written like dog shit. We need to find somebody who's naturally likable so people will just forgive all of his dumb shit.
Because it'd be one thing. Yeah, you're right. He is not likable at all. Like, usually that character you're rooting for. But what's weird is they throw him directly under the bus. Like, it's the movie is not really on his side either. They kind of make him look like an asshole. Do you think that has anything to do with Pauly Shore's character being sort of, like, invented for the movie? Do you think they split what would have been basically just the main character?
Probably, yeah. We found out, I was looking at the trivia before we started, and Pauly Shore had actually auditioned for the role that Sean Astin eventually got, but they liked him so much that they wrote him into the movie. He didn't exist in the script, and most of his lines, I guess, are ad-lib, which you can tell because he goes and does the that shit through the whole fucking thing, and it gets worse as the movie goes on. Like, it's a little taste in the front of the movie, but as the movie progresses, they throw more and more shit in to the point where, like, I mean, he is like, he gets to like two whole scenes where he just sits there and does his little monologues.
Hey, buddy.
But the things in the beginning that I thought was clever is, and I think this is a result of the splitting of characters, is that you know, typically the main character is the one who's more knowledgeable about things, is a little bit, he's the guy who studies, and, you know, Pauly Shore is the guy who's like, I fuck off and I don't know anything. Oh, shit. He's actually the one who's like, oh, my God, this is a Neolithic this or that. You know, he's got all the...
Watch Jeopardy, bud.
Yeah. I mean, it's stupid, but he's got all the knowledge. And even Sean Astin, who's like, well, I've done nothing. Basically, he's a guy who's done nothing to distinguish himself in life. Ever, including apparently go to school.
Yeah, other than dig a ditch. That's going to be a pool. That's about right. It.
Yeah, that's going to be a pool and eventually a caveman resurrection.
But it was, what's interesting by split, because I have to assume that they split those characters and it was one character, because you have things like going to Six Flags and riding roller coasters. That's just Pauly Shore and Brendan Fraser.
And so Sean Astin disappears.
Yeah, Sean Astin's just gone. So I feel like, okay, that would have been one character and now he's just absent for it. And because of that, when Sean Astin does try to butt into the movie, I literally had this thing of just like, get out of here, man. Like,
right.
I mean, like, they're dancing at the end. They're having this huge choreographed dance number, and Brendan Fraser's dancing, and Pauly Shore's dancing, and all the girls are dancing and stuff. And then Sean Astin cuts a rug and gets in there. And I literally was like, come on, get him out of here. Like, you know, like, there was nothing cool about him.
Yeah. I mean, there was nothing fun or interesting or likable about him either. I mean, you could have made this movie with just Pauly Shore and Brendan Fraser. And
absolutely.
It would have been more or less the same movie.
Yeah. He seems like a remnant of an old script that they're sort of stuck to and trying to shed.
Yeah. Well, I think part of it is they just, I'm sure as the movie was going on, they're like, ha ha, his bits are funnier than the scene that we wrote. Do a bit, Pauly, do a bit.
Right.
And then he would do a bit and they'd like, ha ha, that's going in the movie. And Sean Astin's like, wait, what? what about my great lines?
Yeah, so when they roll back from the theme park and literally Sean Astin's like, what? Come on, guys. Why didn't you bring me? Like, all mad, you know. I could literally see that. Like, hey, what if we have Pauly Shore and Brendan Fraser go to the theme park and do a thing? Yeah. You know.
And Sean Astin will get all butthurt because his friends are gone.
Guys, come on. I'm in this movie, too.
Guys.
Anybody want to go to prom with me?
Oh, my God. What's interesting is there's a lot of, like, character actors who are completely wasted in this movie.
Absolutely.
Like, his dad is Richard Master, I think.
Yes.
His name is.
Who would have been so much better. We had him in another
He was in License to Drive.
License to Drive.
Basically
right.
playing much the same role. Yeah.
Identical role, like the dad of the hijinks.
Right.
But he's so much better in License to Drive, has so much more time to be in the movie. This was such a throwaway.
The teacher, he was somebody, right?
Yes. I forgot his name, but this guy that was in The Burbs and a few other movies. He's like a Canadian comedian that should have been in way more movies and never really was. People will probably most remember him as Tom Hanks' neighbor in The Burbs, who's like helping him out.
Oh, Rick Ducoman?
Yes, Rick Ducoman. He's very memorable and in the few movies he was in, but he was suddenly their like history teacher, and I was like, oh, hey, it's that guy. But he didn't really do much in this one.
Yeah, he was kind of wasted also. Although you could see, like, if they had given him more to do, he could have been funny, because he has this just funny way of being the teacher that I mean, that was obviously not written into it, but he figured it out. Rose McGowan, you have her on the sidelines doing nothing except gaping, you know, with her mouth open.
I mean, she was barely in it. Like, she was in two scenes, basically.
Right. I mean, I'm just saying she could have, you know, they could have used her. Brendan Fraser did great. He was...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, honestly, I don't think the movie works at all without him. Like, he actually, I mean, saved is a strong word, but I think given what he was doing... he really shines in the movie. Like, all the physical comedy and the what he does with his eyes and the way he kind of, because he doesn't have much. He doesn't hardly any lines.
Yeah.
And he totally sells it. And you can see that sort of like just kind of charisma of Brendan Fraser. It really comes through.
Yeah. And even Pauly Shore was fine. But I mean, you could that, like, even by the end, they're like, this is Pauly's movie. Everybody step back.
Yes.
They even have.
I mean, it says a lot that the one sheet is like, it's Brendan Fraser and Pauly Shore, and Sean Astin is nowhere to be found on any promotional material for this movie.
And at the end of the movie, there's a post, not quite post credit, but it's like the credits start rolling, and then Pauly Shore comes on screen. They've been referencing the Terminator through the whole thing, and he says, I'll be back. And it's more or less saying, like, James Bond will return. It's like, the real star of this movie is coming back, folks. Don't worry.
Oh, that's a huge question I had. They kind of wrap up the movie with, they walk back into the house, and so when when Brendan Fraser got un-iced, he went on a rampage in the house and left like cave drawings and mud and stuff everywhere. And they return from the party and it's like, oh my God, there's Neolithic paintings on the wall and there's mud. And they follow it up to the bathroom and it's like, it's Brendan Fraser's caveman girlfriend back. She's de-thawed. And all I kept thinking was like, wait, what? Like, when did this happen? I don't remember them finding her ice or anything.
Well, they didn't. It was where there was a brief, like, 20-second scene, like, after they left to chase the DeLuise kid with the Polaroids. And, like, it showed the mimosas they were drinking or whatever. And they started shaking because it's an earthquake.
Oh, is that what that was?
That's what
the earthquake is like, now she's unearthed.
Now she's unearthed, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's about as...
You know, that'll make any... But, like, Brendan Fraser needed heat lamps. Amps in like 24 hours to de-thaw.
Right. Well,
she's just out and ready.
She's like, ready to go. Yeah.
I demand it makes sense.
Too late. Actually, that was actually one of the funnier parts of the movie to me is that you got the DeLuise kid who's the bully. Breaks into their house. He's got this huge plan. He spends like two or three scenes trying to figure out what's the secret of length.
Yeah, he's like snooping at the school and files and be like, this kid's not registered. Like, what's going on?
And
here?
He finds out the secret. Oh, shit. He's a caveman. Which, by the way, Sean Astin's been saying the whole time. He's a caveman, but no one listens to him. So he gets the photos, goes to the prom, and says, hey, everybody, there's a secret. And he makes this...
Stop the press.
Yeah, he shushes everybody, literally says, shush.
Like, he's got the Pentagon Papers. Like, he's ready to just blow the lid off this whole thing.
And he said, and, you know, I'm thinking to myself, well, what's he going to say? He's a caveman, and everyone's going to believe him, and suddenly we're going to be, you know, suddenly it's going to be, oh, no, we're going to... He's got arrested or whatever, or chopped up. He's a caveman. And there's this pause, and then the whole auditorium goes, yay! Like, this is the best news we've ever heard. And he's left, like, going, like, hey, guys, come
what?
On. No.
Hey, he's a freak.
He's
come
a freak
on.
Caveman. Yeah. And it's like, well, you didn't time this very well.
Yeah, they just got cake in the face and punch poured on him.
Yeah,
that
and
was,
then
that generic, was kind of funny.
But, generic hijinks ensue. But the fact that the bad guy's big plan just is immediately undermined.
Yeah, or like three or four setup scenes that basically just lead to, like, a fuck off. Of like, it doesn't even matter. Like, yeah, of course he's a caveman. Who cares?
Who gives a shit? Yay!
It's kind of funny.
That was kind of funny. Also, I gotta say, I mean, maybe, DeLuise is in the middle of all these good scenes. Like, there's the one at the very beginning where, like, Sean Astin is, like, wide open-eyed and, like, gaping at, you know, the girl he adores. And then, like, DeLuise, like, slowly moves his head into frame and just, like, shakes his head. No.
Yeah, this is just, like, back off.
And then there's another scene, you know, more or less the same scene a couple minutes later where he's like trying to talk to the girl and the girl is like, nah, thanks, I go away. And he's like, oh, whatever. And then DeLuise comes over and, like, all pals, he says, oh, come on, buddy, quit trying to make the moves on my girl. It gives him like a noogie. And then, of course, they go right into him doing bully shit. But for the second he was like not just immediately like kicking his ass, I was like, what's it? Honestly, I like the bully more than I like the guy, because he's not doing anything wrong. He's basically
I think I like the dog more than I like Sean Astin. Like,
he was just like, stop macking on my girlfriend. It's embarrassing for everybody. It's gross. But that was there were these little tiny bits every so often. I'm like, oh, okay, somebody tried something, but they're very few and far between. Yes.
Which is why it's such a crime that she kisses him at the end. It's like, this man does not deserve, like, no, there was nothing he did to earn that.
Yeah.
Other than it's storybook and it's Hollywood, and I guess it needs to go that way or something.
And one time he did something not selfish, which is he stepped back and allowed Link to go to the prom with the girl he liked, and. Yay for him for finally learning to get out of people's way when they're liking each other, I guess.
But even that was weirdly disingenuous. Like, she shows up and is like, because to be nice, she's like, oh, maybe we can all go together or something, even though she obviously wants to go with him. So she shows up, Brendan Fraser's dressed, Sean Astin's not dressed. She's like, oh, are you not, you're not coming? And he's like, no, it's okay. You guys go on. It's fine. And she's like, are you sure? He's just, yeah.
It's like, fuck it.
It's okay. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I literally thought he would be just like hate masturbating or just, I don't know, planning to kill them or something. Like, something. It was so weird.
Got binoculars outside the school and a videotape as he's jerking off.
For this desperate man who's like thawing out cavemen, it was just a weird scene for him to be like, it's fine. You guys go ahead. Like, so strange.
And we haven't addressed it directly, but can we talk about Pauly Shore's shtick? the
what shtick is that?
The weasel shtick. How, you know, he's a
is that the weasel. Whole thing?
Yeah. That's it. Just him pausing inappropriately in the middle of words. And then saying things like grindage, and it's like, you know, he's got his own patois, which is like, well, that's fine, but usually when someone has their own patois, it's not made that big a deal. It's like, yes, that character says it, but in the movie, everybody picks it up. And it's not that good when he says it. So when everybody else picks it up, it's like, oh, my God.
Well, it's a weird call sign that's not in and of itself funny. Like I agree with you. Like, there's nothing about it that adds anything. So, like, why do it?
It's like, I can understand that, like, oh, yeah, that's his shtick. That's his punchline or his, you know, catchphrase is like, hey, I do all this weird stuff that I did on the MTV, right, guys? But the fact that everybody picks it up and tries to make it a thing, it's like, oh, it just points out how not funny the joke is.
Right.
Because they give it to Brendan Fraser, and that poor guy is just like trying to spit that shit out and make it sound funny. Brendan Fraser, you know what's funny about this movie is when it came out, I was like, I don't get the whole, like, Brendan Fraser's the hottest thing on earth. And I mean, I get that he's, you know, a pretty boy and all that, but, like, not until, like, Gods and Monsters when he's, like, cut from fucking stone, like, got an 8-pack and he's chiseled and his jaw is wide and shit. Then I was like, oh, shit.
Well, he does look like a hobo in this movie.
That's true.
You know, it's hard to, like, view him as, but I could see, I don't know, for that time,
I can see that he's a pretty boy. It's just that people, I don't know. I guess I just wasn't, you know, people were ahead of me on that one. It was just like, oh, he's a very handsome man. Check this out. But no, it didn't happen. I just don't get how, like, everybody sees him and is like, oh, my God, look at this fucking guy.
Well, let me tell you, when you're standing next to Sean Astin, that doesn't
hurt. I suppose. And next to Pauly Shore and Sean Astin, he does.
It looks like fucking He-Man after that.
Yeah, I guess so. All right.
Well, John. Mr. Nelson.
Yes.
I think the hour is upon us.
Oh.
Did Encino Man hold up?
Well, surprisingly, no.
Oh, man. Thought out bad.
Needs
a couple more minutes in the oven.
You know, there's some stuff in it that's kind of funny. Like I said, I was trying to find the gold, because there is gold to be found, but it is like panning for it. You got to get the nuggets,
right.
the little tiny bits that are atop the fool's gold and shit like that. So
I tend to agree with you. I do not think it held up, much like, you know, the antiquated antics of Brendan Fraser in his caveman time. This might have just been from another time. It needs to go back in the fridge for a while. There was like a kind of 49-51 split where it could have made it over the line.
Yeah,
I think some of the Brendan Fraser, Pauly Shore stuff, while a little silly, is fun. And Brendan Fraser's great.
Yeah.
Really, the nail in the coffin is Sean Astin and everything to do with him. I know it's not an ace up a sleeve. That's a two of clubs up a sleeve.
Yeah, that's...
And no fault to Sean Astin. It's not like he's acting bad. It's just that part is written like absolute trash.
Yeah.
And
why would somebody like him? He's completely, except because he's Sean Astin, he's completely unlikable. So,
oh, yes. I would say I had outright dislike for him as a character. So that never helps when your lead is someone you just are actively rooting against.
Right. Yeah. And when you're like, I hope the bully beats him up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Well, John, what are we doing next month for February?
Oh, well, we've never dipped directly into the Zack Snyder bag.
Oh.
But guess what, folks?
The Zack Sack.
I like that. We're going to dip into the Zack Sack next month, everyone. For February, Valentine's Day 2020, we are going to be doing 300. Speaking of, like, you know, roided up, lubed up dudes, I can't wait for that.
Speaking of male fantasy, here we go.
I'll be just watching this with a roll of toilet paper and some good thoughts.
Well, on that note, if you would like to, please join us in February when we watch 300. In the meantime, you can visit us at holduppodcast.com. There you will find links to our Facebook page, our Instagram page, and our Twitter page. And in addition, you can email us at holduppodcast@gmail.com. And as a reminder, we are taking questions for a 2020 grab bag.
Woo!
So send us any thoughts or questions you have, holduppodcast@gmail.com. And until next time,
nobody move, nobody gets thawed out.